This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A Nobel laureate talks about how to help people in poor countries cope with the pandemic. I'm David Brancaccio. We have our communities and the rest of the world. There's a new estimate that the virus, the response to COVID-19, could wipe out half of all jobs in sub-Saharan Africa. Researchers commissioned by the charity Oxfam also warned the pandemic could push half a billion people into poverty in already low-income countries. As part of Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit series, let's talk to MIT economist Esther Duflo, who won the Nobel Prize last year and is focused on reducing poverty. Thank you for connecting.
Thank you very much for having me.
The international community, the IMF, World Bank, they've been talking about massive aid to governments of low-income countries, but how are they going to get that into the hands of people?
Yes, one of the things that I've been recommending, and not I alone, but also the IMF, for example, is direct cash transfer to individuals. In many of the poor countries are more advanced than us on the technologies. For example, in many countries in Africa, you can just send cash to people on their phone. So that can be done very quickly, very reliably.
It's such an intense crisis in really just about every country now. But in poorer countries, there's more of an impetus of people to want to continue socially interacting because you need to keep the income coming in just to eat.
Exactly. There is no trade-off in poor countries between helping people to sustain themselves financially and getting the health conditions to improve. The two have to go hand in hand, because if you cannot assure people that they will be able to eat in the future, then it's going to be impossible for them to stay home. This is why one of the things that I've been recommending is direct cash transfer to individuals. And it doesn't need to be a lot of money at one go, but we want people to be reassured that every week they'll get a little something so that they can be confident that they can stay home and they won't starve.
Now, your work has been honored for using real-world models to test to see if proposed economic solutions are doing what they're supposed to be doing. What is a model that might help the world get out of this COVID-19 nightmare?
So what I was already advocating before, a little bit too late and a little bit maybe not loud enough, was that every government should have the infrastructure ready to be able to activate those transfers in cases of an emergency. Unfortunately, not all countries are at the level of readiness that I was hoping for them to get to before the crisis, but I'm hoping that we will be able to get there very quickly, accelerate in countries that don't have it.
I mean, ironically, even in one of the richest of countries, the United States, they are just figuring out a direct cash transfer, trying to use bank account information from our last tax return in the United States to get money out quickly to people.
And ironically, in the United States and in other rich countries, that's not the best answer. I think the best answer would have been to directly pay the wage of the people so that people can not only get money, but also know that they are keeping their job. That's what was done in many European countries. And this is better than cash transfer to people because it gives people confidence that they are not in dire straits when things go back to normal. In the U.S., I don't know why we didn't go this way. That brings the much more complicated problem of getting the money on people's bank accounts. And that means that people are now unemployed, which brings all of the insecurity that is going to prevent them to, you know, start consuming and living again once it becomes possible from the pandemic point of view.
Esther Duflo is a professor at MIT and with Abhijit Banerjee and Michael Kremer won the 2019 Nobel Prize in Economics. Dr. Duflo, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
The IMF, World Bank, and Group of 20 finance ministers are set for digital meetings over the next week to talk, among other things, about easing the international debt of low-income countries. We go deeper into basic economics weekly on Marketplace. Sign up for Econ Extra Credit, the newsletter at marketplace.org. After the Dow rose 779 points, 3.4% yesterday, the Dow future now is down 0.3%. Crude oil is up 6% with OPEC meeting today on possibly cutting some production to boost prices.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We are likely in for an awful report on layoffs in America this morning. It's a tally of all the people who signed up for state unemployment benefits in the week ending Saturday. There were 6.6 million the week before, and that is not a comprehensive count, as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The volume of new claims for state unemployment benefits gives us a rough sense of the scale of job loss across the country. But, says former Labor Department chief economist Heidi Shierholz,
the number who have applied for unemployment insurance claims, the one thing we know is that it is less than the number of people who are out of work because of the virus.
For one thing, each state has different eligibility rules for claiming unemployment. Some make it hard to qualify if you didn't work long enough or make enough in your previous job. And up through last week, most states weren't accepting unemployment claims from people who don't have traditional employers, gig workers, freelancers, and the self-employed.
So that includes anyone who's an independent contractor. They're, just like everyone else, seeing demand for their services totally bottom out.
The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program Congress recently passed extends benefits to these workers, and we should see them surging into state unemployment systems in coming weeks. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And who could possibly have seen this pandemic coming? Well, the tennis club that produces Wimbledon spends about $2 million a season on pandemic insurance. Now that Wimbledon's canceled, the All England Lawn Tennis Club will collect a $141 million pandemic insurance payment. It's been buying the coverage since the SARS epidemic. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.